effect do you think starting in the majors at the age of 17 had on you? I mean, in retrospect, was it a fortunate occurrence, an unfortunate occurrence? I mean, how do you see the rest of your career in relation to starting so early?
Well, I look at it, you can look at it in two different ways. Being 17 years old and being brought up to the major leagues, then having to sit behind guys like Pee Wee Reese and Robinson and your Stankies, I probably could have made more money, but maybe I wouldn't have lasted as long as I did. I put 14 and a half years in the major leagues. Looking at it in that vein, 14 and a half years, my pension, which I'm collecting now, is very much appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other end, I probably could have went with another ball club and probably made double the money that I was making. And, well, you don't know whether you would benefit by number one or benefit better by number two. So I look at it that whatever happened, it was for the best.
But you really had no minor league seasoning to speak of.
No.
I mean, do you feel that hurt you? Do you think that a couple of more years in the minors after the war would have...
Well, I'll tell you what hurt me. It hurt me that they never sent me down to the minors because I could have learned an awful lot by playing. But what hurt me more than anything was after sitting for like 7 years and playing as a utility man with the Brooklyn Ball Club, that I started to get complacent. You sort of lose some of that desire because I spent a few days up in Mr. Rickey's office asking to be traded, and they wouldn't have no part of it until the year they traded me to the Chicago Ball Club. But it definitely hurted my career without any doubt that... I could have probably been a lot better ball player. And the toughest thing in the world is to be a utility man and try to play the game, let's say, every 3 or 4 days or get up the pinch hit and do things like that.
Sure.
It definitely takes
I'm sure
away.
That's hard. And I'm sure you have to stay in good physical
especially when you're when you're a younger man. See, utility people, they try to get your older ball players for your pinch hitting duties and whatnot. Hell, at one time there I was Brooklyn's number one pinch hitter with Cookie Lavigetto and Archie Vaughn.
Mm-hmm.
Archie Vaughn was one of the old boys.
Right.
He and I alternated third base during the 47 World Series.
Now, specifically in 1944, did you notice any change in the quality of the ball? For instance, two American leaguers, Lum Harris and Bobby Doerr, said that the American League ball was definitely deader as the war went on. I realize that 1944 was your first season, so you really had no prior comparison. But what about the wartime ball with the post-war ball? Did you notice any difference in the National League?
No, I couldn't definitely say. I couldn't. In fact, when I come out of Burlington, New Jersey, we used to play with tar tape balls, so... When I got to the big leagues and they had these big white shiny balls, I didn't think there was anything like it. So I wouldn't know whether it was dead or alive or what. But no, I couldn't give you an answer on that.
Okay. And you also said that you spent some time with Lum Harris in the Navy. Was this in Honolulu?
No.
Where did you go after Bainbridge?
Camp Perry, Virginia.
Yeah.
After we had that year at Bainbridge with all those big name ball players. The day the season ended, they sent every one of those older ball players out to the South Pacific. We were all spec A's, specialists in the Navy for, I imagine you would say, for entertainment purposes. And they sent me to Camp Perry, Virginia, and I became what you would call a boot pusher, company commander. And I was running recruits through their basic training. And the odd part about it, I was 18 years old, and I think everyone in the company was older than I was.
I see. Did you play any ball at Camp Perry?
Eddie Yost was there at Camp Perry. He's with the Washington Ball Club. Now he's a coach with the New York Mets.
Was this during 1945?
This is in 45, and they asked me to play with Camp Perry, but it was such a bad place, Camp Perry, that I refused.
Oh, really?
They had prisoners of German prisoners on that camp, Italian. I don't know if they had Japanese or not. I doubt it, but they had everything in there, plus our Army, Navy, Marine Corps in there, right?
Right.
Now, it was so bad that it was eliminated for the prisoners of war because the conditions were so bad, but yet they let the American soldiers and sailors and Marines stay there.
Figures.
Now, I was going to play with them, but I figured if I did, my chances of getting off that base were much better.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, they wanted me to play basketball at Camp Perry also, which I didn't do. But it all panned out for the best. I think if I would have agreed to play with the Camp Perry Ball Club, I wouldn't have been discharged in 46 in order to play ball that same year.
One thing's still not clear in my mind. You said you played for Bainbridge. Was this over the winter of 44, or was it too cold in Bainbridge to play?
45.
Yeah, so you played in Bainbridge in the spring. And
I played with the Trenton Ball Club in 44 and the Brooklyn Ball Club in 44. I was drafted in 44 in November. Then season of 45, I played with Bainbridge.
Mm-hmm.
Then right after that season was over, I was shipped on to Camp Perry.
Okay, that explains it. What effect did Leo DeRocher have on you? How do you calculate his influence? Certainly, a lot of men who played for him have gone on to become big league managers and so on. He must have been a very, you might say, charismatic person, a person whose style of playing the game or whose personality left an impression.
Well, I'll tell
people.
You. Leo never had anybody in between. You either liked Leo or you hated Leo.
Oh, I see.
And I would say it's divided equally.
Mm-hmm. Which side were you on?
As playing for Leo with a Brooklyn Ball Club, there's no one in the game that knows the game better than Leo.
Uh-huh.
And you can take any manager in the game today, from Gene Mauch on down, they've all tried to mimic Leo in some way, some shape.
Right.
Without a doubt. Stanky, Gene Mauch, Alvin Dark, Bill Rigney.
Mm-hmm.
If you were with Leo long enough and you were to go out and watch a ball game today, whether they knew they were doing it or not, they're still doing things that Leo did in his heyday as a manager, as a fiery competitor that he was, which everyone mm-hmm. knows. But to me, the man was... without a doubt, the greatest manager I ever played for.
Really?
Right.
I see.
I thought an awful lot of him. He could bring out the most in any man. And if you didn't do it his way...
You were gone. Huh?
You were gone. And Leo played hard-nosed
titans. He had Ricky's backing then. He must have.
Well, Leo played hard-nosed type baseball. This is why a lot of people didn't like the man, because he was the type of guy... knockdown sessions, this is what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You play that way or you didn't put on a Dodger uniform. This is why everybody wanted to beat Leo.
Mm-hmm.
You take this Philly ball club, the fellas that I'm talking with today, they didn't give a damn whether they won another ball game as long as they beat Leo DeRocher.
I see.
That was it. You stick your head out of the dugout when you're with a Brooklyn ball club, you got knocked down.
Uh-huh.
This is the way he played.
Uh-huh.
He gave you $100 shoot, rip somebody up going into second base. Any way to win a ball game. Anyway, we had a meeting one day in St. Louis, and we were going over to hitters, and Dixie Walker was on the ball club at that time, and we got to the name of Musial. He's wearing us out.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we play a series of St. Louis, that Musial go 4-for-5, 3-for-4. So we got to Leo, to Musial, and Leo says, look, he's taking bread and butter out of our mouths.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'll give anybody in the room $100 if get him out of lineup. He said, before the game, do anything, get him out of lineup. So Dixie Walker got up and he said, Skip, he said, you got Dodgers written across your uniform. Why don't you do it? In other words, he didn't go along with Leo's theory. He wanted anybody to do something to him, mm-hmm. getting the hell out of line.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought Dixie put it to Leo pretty good right there, and he mm-hmm. that broke the meeting up right there.
I see. Okay, now once again, specifically in relation to the 44 season, are there any other interesting anecdotes you have or comments you'd like to make either about specific players or the season in general?
Well, that goes back a few years, and being a 17-year-old boy, the only people I can remember on that ball club was, of course, Dixie Walker. He was the people's choice.
Mm-hmm. You know? Why was he called the people's choice? Was it because of his ability alone, his personality, or a combination?
His ability and his personality. Dixie Walker was a great hitter, no doubt about it. But he also had a personality, and he knew how to get along with the press, and that's the name of the game.
I see.
And he played for a New York ball club. Once you play for a New York ball club,
the press takes
care of the rest.
Yeah, right. Anything else?
I think that would be it.
One last thing I'd like to mention. Bobby Bragan is one of the four men who has written me a letter. He's now president of the Texas League, Fort Worth. He mentioned Ernie Lombardi, who was closing out his career with the Giants, and he said that you used to have to play him back in the infield grass for those wicked one-hop liners he used to hit. Do you remember that at all?
You'd play him out in left center field, the shortstop would.
Uh-huh.
Third baseman. I seen Ernie try to beat out bunts. Guy would be out almost like, six, seven, eight steps, and a third baseman would be six, seven, eight steps in the outfield grass.
Really? The third baseman.
Yeah, third baseman. And I seen Ernie try to beat out bunts and never was successful. Catch balls with his bare hand. He was such a big man, he had hands on him like two meat cleavers.
Mm-hmm.
And pitches that were on the outside part of the plate with a right-handed hitter, I seen him bare hand and throw the guy out at second base. This man
Amazing.
Had a tremendous arm. If he could run, there wouldn't be anybody in baseball ever come near him and hit him.
Mm-hmm.
No one.
See. Okay, fine.